We're back. It's Monday, and I got a big show for you today. I want to talk a little bit about security. You know, you look at what's going on at the border, and I'll step back from all the politics, and I'll just say this. Do good people do that? It's a question that I ask regularly, and it's not because I'm some kind of a moral authority. I'm asking you. I use the example of Ukraine. I've talked about it many times in the past, both sides of it. I don't believe that what Putin did was just. I think to make it just, if you want to buy into this argument that he felt threatened or that there was some legitimate grievance based on the violation of an agreement or something like that, and there certainly seems to be some evidence of that. If that's the case, then he should have made a clear, open, public demand and said, if it's not met after this date, then we will choose whatever response we deem appropriate. That didn't happen. Now, you don't have to agree with me. I don't know that that's any law anywhere. But if you ask me, war should be avoided. Boundaries should be honored. Territory should be respected. And when disputes arise, there should be a method to deal with it without people having to die over it. That would just be my preference. Putin chose a different route. I don't respect that. But the other side of that coin is that the United States saying, hey, Putin is going to invade Ukraine. I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was going to happen, just to be fair. However, the threat was there, and I was very critical of the fact that Zelensky left the borders wide open. And we now know from incursions like the, the Wagner Group, when they went on their little, pushed back against Putin, went on their stroll to Moscow, and look how far they got. Look how far they got. That's what an open border gets you. You say, what open border for Russia? Well, it was open with that portion of Ukraine that they thought that they had fully control. They forgot about the influence of Wagner, I guess you could say. But my point is, it was very, very foolish of Zelensky to not even put so much as Jersey barriers in the way to slow the Russians down. They just drove right in, unimpeded, nearly making it down all the way to Kiev. All I'm asking is, do good people do that? The good leaders allow their country to just be completely unprotected. You know, if you're in charge of the school system and you say, well, I'm a pacifist, okay, great. Does that mean that you get to turn the security alarms off? I don't think that that's appropriate. And that's what we see going on here. It's creating a situation that can only be bad, put it that way. And it seems to be that we're really in a struggle with our own government over it, really. Why? Money, of course, and we're going to be the ones that are going to get screwed and all that. You just watch. I wanted to share this with you. We're talking about crime. This was a letter written to the editor of a paper in New York City. As I write an Encyclopedia of New York City, I'm reminded that the more things change, the more they remain the same. For example, the Post reported that one Sunday morning, a gang of killers took over City Hall Park and went about stabbing and cutting several persons without the slightest provocation. In 1852, a New Yorker complained that the increase of crime, the ferocity and frequency of assaults on private citizens at night in this city, and the imbecility and inefficiency of the police is creating great alarm in the decent and orderly portion of our inhabitants. He went on to say that many residents are either buying a couple of revolvers or moving to the suburbs. Harper's Weekly agreed that citizens gravely discuss the question whether it is necessary or not to carry sword canes, dirks, Bowie knives, and revolvers to protect us free citizens. This was written in 1852, rather. So as much as things change, they stay the same. And the fact of the matter is, I talked about this many times. Why do I bring this up? Not to say that we're supposed to accept it and just say, oh, you know, this is just the way it is. We have every right to expect that we have safety and good order in our society. It's what makes it a decent place to live. You know, we're talking about this for the very reason that the government's not doing what it is that they're supposed to be doing, not doing the very basic job that government has, mainly the border issue. And really, it represents a complete and potentially catastrophic failure when you think about it. You hear this term existential threat being thrown around. What about this threat from the border? How many are they going to let in before it is an existential threat? How many did they let in before it is white replacement theory, whether it's in name or not? How can you possibly explain leaving the border wide open, particularly at this time? There's people around the world regularly chanting death to America. There's gangs right in Mexico committing heinous atrocities. And we're leaving the border wide open. Take a look at what happened in Ukraine, as I said. And I know it's ancient history, but look at the role that Zelensky played in all that. Now they're not even having elections. You're going to be forced to have a leader who doesn't even protect the border on a basic level. Oh, man, I don't know. We literally watched all this on camera as Russia drove in there. And it's not a good situation, and we're repeating the same thing. We watch this, and you want to see what it looks like? Look at the recent video of the migrant surge that they busted through. Did you see that? And then they want to shut out the media. You know, this is when horrible things happen, when there's not transparency, when things are done in secret. And then when the truth is revealed, everybody says, wow, how does this happen? Because it was done in secret, pretty much. Anyway, here's a couple of things going on with all this. Let me give you a little update besides my rooming around. I think it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. When you look at the threat to our country, let me paint this picture a second. You start looking at what's happened in Haiti. Wow, we're going to end up like Haiti. We're going to end up like Mexico. Some places already kind of are. You know, you go down into some of these places in Chicago, Philadelphia, every major city, and it's bad. It's violent, unsafe. And what does that affect? Everything. When you can't live there safely, services can't come in. They start restricting services. We're not going to go in there. It's too dangerous. More and more places of those popping up. You get a guy as a paramedic. I need you to go in that apartment building. No thanks. I got to go home tonight. I'm going to get a different job. What do you do? Starts to affect everything. It starts to affect business, trade, commerce. You know, you see the businesses, they got the gates up front or the full, metal panels they're pulling down. And is this really how we want to live everywhere? In some of these places, it's always been that way. Why? Why can't it be cleaned up? Think about the path that we're on, and we really should think about making every effort to make sure that it doesn't get out of control. You know, you look at what's going on politically, I think people are afraid, good people are afraid to get into politics right now. I know they are. I know from talking to Teddy Daniels, like everything that I went through, it's like, better opportunities in other places for me. And maybe that's a good thing, I guess, but you're just not leaving any breathing room for good people to get into politics. Won't do it. They're running from it. And you're going to have the gangs literally taking over, just like you see happening. The security concern is going to get only worse and worse. So I see here that Mayor Adams is going to make a trip down to the border. I find this to be really laughable to me, really funny, that this guy's going to go make a trip down to the border. The mayor of New York City, New York City has been, sanctuary city, you know, bring us your poor. You remember all that during the Trump election? Like, oh, no, we don't think migrants are bad. Come, we'll take care of you. And now they're choking on it. And now Mayor Adams is going to get down there. Why didn't they get down there and take a look at what was going on before they were running their mouth against Trump? Maybe they should have went down and took a look at what was going on then instead of waiting until now. Nobody thinks about that. Well, we'll see what he finds. I don't know if it's the first time he's been down there. Then what's he going to do? Is he going to talk about it? No, they already silenced him. Remember, they pulled an investigator. You better watch yourself. Got a little too out of line with what he said. They're running this like a mob. This guy, he's as liberal as they get. They say, you know what? We're hearing Republicans start talking like you're a Republican. That's a problem. You better get yourself together. So what's he going to do when he goes down there? He's going to come back and say, what I saw at the border really isn't a problem. We just need more people to take the money. That's what I'm going to tell you. He's going to blame it on Philadelphia. He's going to blame it on Florida cities. He's going to blame it on Texas cities. What I saw down there was an organized border patrol in Texas is now busting these people around, creating this chaos. It's Trump's fault. Yeah, okay. That's what he's going to say. What else can he say? You tell me. Tell me I'm wrong about that. Or you'll hear nothing. I bet you it'll be B. We'll see. He's not going to speak up. He's afraid to. This guy came in. How does this guy get elected? Ranked choice voting. That's what that gets you. House appropriations bill increases border patrol spending. $9.5 billion for immigrations and customs. $9.5 billion to do what? They're going to give the money to the immigrants. You watch. It's not for, they're telling you it's for immigration and border security. It's for them to give money to the migrants. That's what it's going to be. Maybe Adams will get his little gig. We need, you know, for them to float 20, 30 million out of that to New York City to help them out. This is how it's happening. I'm sure that was the buy-off. We need 20 million in there to get it. And Mayor Adams, they shut up. Get Yonkers to take some more of these migrants. Pretty funny. Anyway, what is all the cost of all this? I did a little bit of research on this. And there's a million ways you could look at this. I looked at how much did the 2020 riots cost. A little bit different than the border issue there. But when I look at the political involvement, this is just as politicized. How much did the 2020 riots cost? Another political temper tantrum, right? If you want to look at it, this is what is going on at the border. It's a political temper tantrum. You won't give us your votes, then we'll bring in the migrants and take the votes that way. But there's much more to the whole migrant thing than that. It's not that simple. It really isn't. And there's a lot of Republicans, conservatives, that want to see the migrants come in. And they want the cheap labor. Always been an issue. Every society as it grows, look back through history. Of course nobody wants to do the dirty work. Let the slaves do that. Let them earn their way up, just like our families did. The problem has been so far, people here forget how to work. I thought of this. Could you imagine today if you had to go into suburbia and say, you know what, you guys are going to go move to farms, working farms, like where you're going to have to literally make sure that you grow enough in the spring to serve and can it and have it in your cellar that you have enough for the year. Deer meat, oh, it tastes a little gamey, you say? Well, you better get used to it. Those rabbits, they're going to be tasty too. Trust me, you put that in a little stew. Can you imagine people having to do this? Can you imagine little Johnny breaking away from his little video game to go out and gut a rabbit? I don't think it would go very well. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. The cost of all this political mayhem, the cost of all this inaction, the cost of all this poor leadership. What is the raw dollars? Well, whether you want to blame Trump or you want to blame whoever, it doesn't really matter. The cost is the same. How much did the 2020 riots cost? Seattle's paying $10 million to protesters. This went on in so many different cities. These protesters come in and they're piped in. Wait till I tell you about that. And they're paid. And then they go in and they force the police to break the law, or somehow they already have these opinions, and they go and file these lawsuits, and they win. And all around the country, millions of dollars paid out. Who paid for that? Who paid for it? Well, it was insurance company payouts, right? So it was kind of silent. No, then all the premiums go up. The taxpayers pay it. And they say, well, it's inflation. All just baked into inflation. Seattle, $10 million, I said that. The Capitol riot, $2.7 billion, they say. More Seattle, $1 billion riot damage, most expensive in insurance history. Minneapolis, the George Floyd riots. New York agreed to pay $13 million to 2020 racial injustice protesters. Money taken away from the good migrants. Riots following George Floyd's death may cost insurance companies up to $2 billion. And you're going to tell me that that's not affecting our homeowners insurance rates, our property insurance? Don't tell me that. They say, oh, it's inflation. Unbelievable. How much did the summer 2020 riots really cause? Nobody really knows. They don't want to know. Nobody wants to know. It's too depressing to know. Unbelievable. And then we're going to throw another $9.5 billion at the border. No security, no freedom, no economic freedom, no travel freedom. That's how that works. And we're headed there. You know, I don't feel good about getting on a plane today, do you? It has nothing to do with terrorists. It has to do with the idiots that are in this country already. Acting inappropriately, the door's falling off, the whole place is going to hell in a handbasket. But how long before you don't feel safe driving on the open road? People are just shooting it out, and it's like Haiti. You're driving to work or dropping your kid off at school, and there's a body laying in the street. Let's hope we're not headed there. I had this thought over the weekend, by the way. It's a little bit freaky to me. So I'm a little bit cynical, to say the least. I'm a combat veteran. I've seen a few things in my day besides that even. And I know how things go, man. And you know, you could sit and try and figure it out all you want, but you know, it remains the same. And I think about our home and property security on a regular basis. And I've shared a lot of that, and I'm going to continue to share a lot of that. Those basic practical things that you can do to avoid getting in these crazy situations. So for example, you hear about these squatters. You keep hearing me telling you, if you don't have a basic camera set up on your property today, you're just dumb. I'm sorry to say that. You may say, what? It's as foolish to me today as not having a fire alarms. Why would you do that? I got to check ours, actually. Do you have fire extinguishers in your? You're going to say, Chris, you're a little nuts. I'm not kidding you. I could tell you the stories after story after story. It's important that you have a couple of fire extinguishers easily accessible from any at-risk area, your kitchen, your clothes dryer, your garage, all right? Have a fire extinguisher there. Have a decent fire alarm. It costs you, you know, $100, $200. And if you own property, go get some cameras to put on your property. Two to begin with. I mean, you could easily get four. That would cost you less than $200 to set it up. Well, they're going to have the subscription. It's like $7 a month or something like that. Just get it done. I'm just thinking, come home and somebody's there. You don't even know it. I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem at all. Anyway, what are you going to do? When we go away, we actually set a camera up inside. We monitor what's going on inside, especially if the dogs are there. So anyway, what are we talking about here? It's I started to say about the security on the property. So we take it pretty seriously, the lights, the cameras. We have some other things that we use to create time and distance, advance notification, dogs included. Good luck getting on our property at all without us knowing about it. I've seen like peculiar things. I'll tell you this. I thought maybe we had a coyote. But it might have been actually. It might have been a coyote. I'm not sure. I think it's probably a fox. Well, anyway, I heard the dog a single bark. Oof. And at the same time, it woke me up a little bit. And the light from one of the motion activated floodlights goes on. I see it through the bedroom window. I jump up and I see a fox or a coyote had jumped over the split rail fence into the dog run and was in that yard. I saw it run through there. Now, how quiet was that thing? Now, maybe it let out a bark or something that our dogs heard that I didn't hear, a howl or something like that, but I don't think so. Things are quiet. So point being, if the fox can't get close to the house without us knowing about it, you think that Joey Bag of Donuts is going to have much luck? I don't think so. And what kind of advantage does that give me? Huge, huge, huge. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I'm not going to get into the details because it's not a good idea to do that publicly at this particular time. Anyway, that's how I roll. I'm just telling you. And I could go on and on. It goes deeper than that. You know, we have lighting, big, powerful lights that we can carry in case a problem develops, multiple of them at every door, all kinds of things, all right? And for multiple reasons, man. And it's not a lot of money. It's not crazy at all. You think, oh, it's over the top. No, it really isn't. I didn't spend a lot of money on any of this. None of it's very sophisticated. I bought some solar motion-activated lights. We had some floodlights put on the house. And everything else we have is very affordable stuff. Anyway, I had this thought that, and I guess I dreamed about it. I really slept well over the weekend, but I could kind of see an image of it when I say that. But it was like 20, 30 people coming across my neighbor's property in the back. and coming towards our property. I thought, I've talked about this a little bit before. What do you do in that situation? What if they're armed, right? You're going to say, man, it's just me and my family here. There's 30 of them, and I would rather avoid this necessarily. I'm saying you better start getting some yardage between you and them as your number one goal. But I brought it up before, and it was just interesting that I had this premonition. And I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm no fortune teller. But I've had this happen before, and it's never been good. Never been good, man. And I've been talking about it for a while from a different angle. Every other time I thought about it, it would be out front. I never thought about it out back. And it's just interesting that it subconsciously popped into my head again, this threat of roving gangs. I got that electric bike out, and things cool, man. Great for doing like a roving, what do they call it, you know, town security kind of thing. That would be good too, especially with night vision. If we could get some night vision, so man, you could be out on those nice quiet bikes. You could be doing a town watch. That's what it is. I could see that making a comeback. There would be a good idea to organize that as well. Maybe I'll do it here. We'll see what happens. I don't know how many people would be genuinely interested, but I think it would be good to start this kind of thing going. You could use drones today, but the good guys can use them. The bad guys can use them. It goes both ways. And I've said this before. Imagine if you had 4, 5, 6 people and you had to attack an objective. You had the benefit of drones and electric bikes. None of this is expensive today. It's all readily available, easily obtained. You could have a landscape trailer and probably fit 4, 5, 6, 8 electric bikes in there. These bikes can be modified to do 30, 40 miles an hour. You could easily throw an extra battery in a backpack, increase the range from 25 to 50 miles. They're completely quiet, lightweight. It's freaky, man. Freaky when you think about it. I'm not saying there's a threat there. I just had this thought of these roving gangs. What are you going to do about that? You're going to have to think and act fast, real fast. I don't know. Think, you say, Chris, this is crazy. It just happened in Israel. What was it? 2,000 fighters caused all that mayhem when you think about it. Unreal, really. Think about what they plunged that whole country into as a result of that. Absolutely crazy when you think about it. And we don't really, we've become so insensitized to this stuff, we don't even really give it much of a thought anymore. Crazy, truly crazy to me. You saw this, Texas troops clashing with migrants through the barbed wire fence. And that's what I say, you want to see what these gangs breaking through. I have a fence across the back. I think, man, what do you do if all of a sudden there's all these people start running through there? High caliber ammo, my friend. Rifles. Migrant encounters at the southern border hit a new high. February. This is Fox News reporting this. I'm sure it's a big lie. That's what the liberal media would tell you. No, they're actually down under Biden. It was Trump that caused all these problems just because Biden treats them a little better. You could say that. Anyway, these aren't the only security threats. And I want to talk about a couple other things for a second. This whole TikTok thing, Trump saying that TikTok is a national security threat. I did play around with a TikTok account. We posted a couple of videos on there. My little brother's been pushing some of the Project Chaos stuff out there. I can't bring myself to get that app. What these companies are doing with the social media, with the data, they went from, you know, you could sign up with an email, the data they were collecting with that. Now it's just ridiculous, man. They know exactly who you are, tracking everything. It's just really disturbing to me. We don't even really know the depths of it. And after the complete breach of trust, and suddenly we're back to, oh, because it's got a blue check and we paid for it, then it must be okay. I don't think so. And something else is going to change with all this, I guarantee you. And that is the pay part of it. Now they become pay. It's not just free. It's not free speech anymore. And it gets into a whole different thing. It might open up some different opportunities, though, with it being paid. We say, hey, they're paying to post here, and they have every right to say what they want. But you'll see the government's going to step in. But either way, it's a big threat. And this TikTok thing, the bigger threat, in my way, what threat are we talking about? Let's start there. You know, why would the Chinese want all this data on American citizens? Look at all the data that's already been stolen. All the credit card data I got from my mortgage company. I mean, what don't they know about me at this point? What is concealed that hasn't been stolen? I don't know. Credit cards, mortgage, the VA, I'm pretty sure, had a breach. All these different breaches, social security numbers, all this data. They probably have advanced ways of matching up, especially using AI now. I don't do a lot of data work with AI. I use AI every day. I don't do a lot of data work with it. But at the same time, I'm watching some videos and seeing some of the things that have become possible with AI and data. And it's really very remarkable in so many different ways. And I think that they're going to be able to steal this data and combine it in ways that's just very nefarious. And probably a big reason now, they just know what the patterns are. If you're not in the majority, if you're not with the herd, you're just getting nothing because of these algorithms that they run on this stuff. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I just know that there's a reason why they're taking the data. You know, I hear people say, well, what difference does it make? I don't have anything to hide. Well, then why are they taking it all? If there's nothing to hide, there's no value to it, and there's nothing to do with it, then why do they keep taking it? Well, to feed you better ads. See, to feed you better ads. Why don't you just let me pick my own ads, right? That's not helping me. Helping the advertisers, which could be good. Some of the targeting and tracking, there's some benefits to that that were really very exciting when it was coming around. I was there for all that. But it went too far, like so many things. And the geo-tracking was a big part of that. And then they're matching up the data and buying data. And pretty soon, they're particularly with the use of AI, they're able to just make these incredible projections of how people are going to think and move, because it's insane data. And I can't imagine the variables that go into the different things of voting. I'll give you an example. How much does voting drop when it rains versus sunny? I don't know. Maybe not at all. How much is the difference when, I don't know, the calendar is this way or that way? I don't know. I'd be interested to know. I know that there are elections. There was a story. It was a state or a county election. And the people that wanted to throw the election, and so they did a food outbreak in this town. They went to the buffets, and they spread these food illness contaminants around. And it worked. It worked. It threw the election, whatever the election results were. They were successful in getting what they wanted. Crazy when you think about it. All these threats still exist. Now, today, they have the whole digital footprint. They can do it all digitally. Oh, too many people are searching for this, right? I mean, I'm sure they do. A lot of people searching, concerned about the national debt. Oh, we'll put some good news out. Debt estimates drop or something like that. Okay. It must be okay then. Everything's back to normal. No, it's not. Not at all. There's a lot of big threats out there. And the biggest one, my point is, seems to be coming from our own government, either through ineptness or plain out hostility against our own people. It's hard to say which at this point, but the net result is it doesn't really matter. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not thinking about security on some level, in my opinion, you're taking a big risk. You look at these people in the videos and the squatters, and I just think, don't let that be you. They're the lucky ones that they have video and they're alive and they can talk about it. You're going to come home one day and somebody's going to be in the house and you think that they're going to go, oh, and they're going to start arguing with you as opposed to shooting you. You're taking a big risk with all that. Why would you do that? You have a family, you have obligations, a life to live. Put a camera up. It'll alert you on your phone. They're easy to use. It's very simple technology and it's all over. It's easy to do. That's a big part of why I do this podcast. I'm no expert. I'm no security expert. Go get one if you need it. I think some of the things I can tell you, look, you got to just look naturally. What are the vulnerabilities? If you had to attack you, what would you do? What are the vulnerabilities that you face? And just start walking through that process. My brother, Butch Erskine from Hope for Survival, he's great with this. Do a threat assessment. What vulnerabilities do you have? I start looking around the windows, the doors, and the way we're laid out here becomes a difficult proposition. Read The Art of War if you have to. Time, distance, obstacles, all these things play a role. For example, how are you going to defend your home against 30 people coming across the back property line if there's a foot of snow on the ground? And you say, oh, yeah, oh, going to change everything in a heartbeat. Real fast, as a matter of fact. And I would say the likelihood would happening would probably go down in that scenario. The snow probably offers you a veil of protection. But that ain't necessarily so if you look back through history. Not at all. One last thing I'll leave you sticking on. Remember when Biden made that comment about if you're going to take down our government, you're going to need more than an AR-15, you're going to need an F-18. And I thought, he doesn't know the power of fire. And that's another whole element. But be careful with that as a defensive move. Anything you do burning, it becomes an immediate felony, arson. You know, you could have a squatter on the back of your property and go tear the tent down and probably get away with it just fine. Go burn it down, and you're probably going to find yourself being run up on felony arson charges. And if there was private belongings in there, any chance that somebody could have been in there, and you get a fancy prosecutor down there looking to make a name for themselves, and I've seen it happen. And next thing you know, you're in 5 years in prison. I'll leave you with that thought. Before you do anything security-wise, you better make sure you understand the rules of the game where you live. Very, very important. With that, I'm going to let you go for the day. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. We got a big show for you. Hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.